filled with wonder, awestruck wonder at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Holy, holy, holy the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Father, we are here this morning to worship you, and we thank you for the beautiful day. The sun shining, God, and we show up and we're just reminded that the light that you sent, Jesus, the light of the world, God, and we just look to that, and we thank you so much for the sacrifice on the cross to take away our sin, God, and that's why we're here to worship you this morning. Please bless this service. May it be honoring to you. May it be glorifying to you. May it be a pleasing aroma to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, good morning. Glad you are with us this morning as we worship the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it's a special day in the life of the church. We're welcoming in on transfer of membership, Mark and Jody Menigan family, and also through profession of faith, Brad and Brandy Stambro, with the baptism of their son, Brecken. So it's a special day in the life of our church. We praise God you are with us this morning. If you're new to the church, we do have a little information in a water bottle at the desk on the way out. Grab one of those bottles. They have a link to our website and so forth. If you want more information about our church, give me a call. Love to meet you for coffee or for lunch. We can discuss who we are, what we do, and I can get to know you a little better. The psalmist writes in Psalm 95, "O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation, for he is our refuge." This is our God who we've come to serve. Receive these words, and then we're going to greet each other. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let's say good morning to each other. All right, I'm going to need everybody's help this morning. This is an easy song to clap on, okay? I'm a terrible clapper, but it's every beat. All right? They have a running joke that I can't get 100 people to clap. I'm counting. I win.
Thank you.
out of grace, in the grace out of grace.
Well done.
It's amazing to think that the Bible we read today was written thousands of years ago. Thousands. That's like your parents, 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 45 times over. And yet it's as true and real today as it was then. These ancient words, handed down through the age, inspired by God himself, still teach us today. Ancient words.
Holy words I preserve for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Words of life, words of hope, give us strength, help us grow. In this world where we roam, ancient words will guide us home. Ancient words are a strong, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts, oh, let the ancient words impart. Holy words of our faith, handed down to this age, came to us through sacrifice. Oh, heed the faithful words of Christ. Ancient words are true, changing me and changing you. We have found with open hearts, oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words are the truth, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts, oh, let the ancient words impart. We have come with open hearts,
Our call to confession is based on the Heidelberg Catechism, questions and answer 88 to 90, a combination there. Genuine repentance involves two things: the dying away of the old self, and the coming to life of the new. The dying away of the old self is to be genuinely sorry for sin, to hate it more and more, and to run away from it. The coming to life of the new self is wholehearted joy in God through Christ, and a delight to do every kind of good as God wants us to do. Together as God's body, we now confess our sin to express our longing to live in joyful obedience to God. Would you bow your head as I pray our prayer of confession? Almighty God, you despise nothing that you have made, and you forgive the sins of all who are penitent. And we say with David, create in us a new heart, Lord, a contrite heart, a heart that truly repents of our sins and acknowledges our brokenness. Lord, that we might obtain from you, the God of all mercy, our full pardon and forgiveness through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And now we take a moment to silently confess our sins to God. Receive this assurance of pardon from Isaiah 40. Surely he has borne our grief, and he has carried our sorrow. He was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. Upon him, Jesus, was the chastisement that makes us whole. And with his stripes we are healed. He will lead his flock like a shepherd and gather the lambs into his arms. Praise be to our God that we serve. This morning, I did pick as our text Psalm 95. So I would ask that you have your Bibles open to Psalm 95 as we shortly get to the text. So one of my son's favorite words is do it again. Do you remember when your kids were little, if your kids are older now or maybe your kids are little? To do it again. You know, so I'll lift him up in the air. I'll put him down. He'll be like, do it again. So I'll throw him in there. He'll be like, do it again. And it won't stop until I'm just too tired to do it again. Do it again. Do it again. Like he said it more than any other words to me. Children in worship, I'm sorry, Lord. Kids, I'm back to my habits. Kids, follow the flag to children in worship as Lorna brings the flag through. But I've prepped all of them. You'll hear, do it again, Lorna, when you get in there. Do it again. You know what I'm talking about, right? That saying that our kids repeat. I was reading a quote by G.K. Chesterton. I don't know if you're familiar with Chesterton, his little book, Orthodoxy. He has this quote. I want to share it with you this morning. In relation to that saying that kids say, and who our God is, he wrote this. Let me see here. I'll have to hop back to that slide. Can I get to the Chesterton quote? Chesterton wrote this. The sun rises every morning. Now, to put the matter in a popular phrase, it might be true that the sun rises regularly because he never gets tired of rising. He, God, rising it. His routine, God's routine, might be due not to the lifelessness, but to a rush of life. The thing I mean can be seen, for instance, in children when they find some game or joke that they especially enjoy. A child kicks his legs rhythmically through excess, not absence of life. Because children have abounding vitality, because they are in spirit fierce and free, therefore they want things repeated and unchanged. And Chesterton continues, they always say, do it again. The grown-up people are not strong enough to exult in monotony. That's us. We don't have patience for monotony. But perhaps God is strong enough to exult in monotony. It is possible that God says every morning, do it again, to the sun. And to the evening, do it again to the moon. It may be automatic necessity that makes all daisies alike. It may be that God makes every daisy separately, but has never got tired of making them. It may be that he has the eternal appetite of infancy. Don't you love that picture? For we have sinned, and we've grown old, and our Father is younger than we are. Just a great picture of a God who says every day, do it again. Do it again. You do it again to the sun. Do it again to the moon. We think of the grass that needs to be mowed. Do it again as it raises. The fish jumping out of the streams. Do it again. The storms as they brew and the thunder as it strikes. God's saying, do it again. You know, that's just an awesome picture of the God that we serve, whom we are often acting as if we're older than, as we get tired of doing it again. It's helpful to think upon who God is. When we think about who God is, when we train our eyes upon Jesus, it creates that joy, that do it again joy in us. And that's what we gather to do week in and week out. And so the text I picked this morning hopefully creates that longing in us to do it again, that we learn to do it again, to praise God every day that He gives us breath. And so we come to Psalm 95. Let me hop back. Let me just read it instead of hopping through my slides. The psalmist wrote, "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to Him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods, and in His hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are His also. The sea is His, for He formed it, and His hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as on the day of Massa in the wilderness, when your fathers put me to the test and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work," God says. "For 40 years I loathed that generation and said, they are a people who go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Therefore I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest." Let me pray. God, as we consider Psalm 95, the psalm that will be read over and over tonight, the beginning for many of this Feast of Tabernacles, Lord, we ask that our eyes would be upon You, remembering Your provision, that we might worship You every day going forward. And we pray this in Your name. Amen. So there's a couple ways we might recognize this psalm. The psalm is used as a call to worship. I've used it repeatedly as calls to worship. If you're not from our church, you've probably heard it used as a call to worship. What's a call to worship? It's a call that comes from God to us. And so myself, as you could say, the mailman, the messenger, I'll take God's word, and I'll read the beginning of Psalm 95, and what we receive in a call to worship is God calling His people to worship Him. And so this is one psalm that's used in that call to worship. You'll hear it again in the future. Take note that this is one that we use. But this psalm, as many scholars understand it to be, has been used regularly in the Feast of Tabernacles. Originally, that's where it was set. Now, the Feast of Tabernacles, also known as the Feast of Booths, it was an ingathering of the exiles. And the Jewish holiday is celebrated typically in late September or early October. This year, the celebration begins September 23rd at sundown. So, tonight. And we'll run until next Sunday, the 30th, at sundown. It's a Jewish pilgrimage, one of three very primary ones, and it commemorates the exodus of God's people, showing their dependence upon God for His deliverance. It includes a feast with all those present, God's people remembering the past and God's faithfulness, looking forward to the future and God's continued faithfulness in their life. Today it's celebrated in various ways, where the people of God gather, dwell in unity as one body, but to remember God's provision. So yes, the psalm was used in ancient Israel to remember God's provision, but the author of Hebrews highlights in this psalm, in Hebrews chapter 3, when he quotes it to the church, the words today. The author of Hebrews wrote this in Hebrews 3, 7-9. "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in their rebellion, on that day of testing in the wilderness where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. And so the author of Hebrews reminds the church, what's today? Today, Today, if you hear his voice, the psalm is for us as well. Hear the voice of God, and when you do, do not harden your hearts against him. But remember his faithfulness and worship him every day of your future. That is what we are called to, and that's what I want to point you towards today with two thoughts as the psalm is broken up into those two main parts. I'm going to start with the second portion. Remembering the past to worship God faithfully into the future. That's where we're going to start. So we live in a culture where the search to be famous is strong, to be known, to live large, to get ahead. And we know if you achieve that, it brings a whole lot of miseries. You just look at Hollywood and the things that are happening there. But even a legacy. I mean, we ask the question, what's my legacy going to be? How are people going to remember me? What are they going to say at my funeral? What will the next generation remember of me or of this generation? So I have some weird quirks. And if you know me, you probably know I do. One of them is I like to read obituaries. And I read this one a couple months ago, and it took me a little while to find it. And it was written by family to an 82-year-old lady who died. And let me just show you a portion of what it says. Drugs were a major love in her life, as June had no hobbies, made no contribution to society, and rarely shared a kind word or deed in her life. We speak for the majority of her family when we say her presence will not be missed by many. Very few tears will be shed, and there will be no lamenting over her passing. And I'm like, what in the world? I mean, maybe people think these things, but here it is in the paper. No one wants to leave that type of legacy. No one strives to be forgotten. But how teachable these things are for us, aren't they? Who, instead of seeking to be famous, is now infamous with an obituary. And I think this psalm in the second half does that for us as well. In the psalm that calls us to look on God and to worship him, the psalmist reminds us to remember those who rebelled against God. Remember their hardened hearts and don't do that. They saw the works of God and they hardened their heart against him when they needed him most. And so I want to start in that second half, beginning at verse 6. The psalmist wrote, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for he is our God. We are the sheep of his pasture and the sheep of his hand." This is the reality of who we are in God's presence. This is who he's made us in Christ. And the psalmist says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Don't harden your hearts like they did at Meribah. In Manasseh, God says, for 40 years I loathed that generation. I'm not going to enter my rest, God says. Well, what's the context here? The context of comes to us from Exodus 17. Let me read a portion of that context. We read in Exodus 17, "All the congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin by the stages according to the commandment of the Lord and camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people quarreled with Moses and said, 'Give us water to drink.' And Moses said to them, 'Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?' But the people thirsted for water, and the people grumbled against Moses and said, 'Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?' So Moses cried out to the Lord, 'What shall I do with this people? They're almost ready to stone me.' And the Lord said to Moses, 'Pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff in which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock of Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink.' And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because the quarreling of the people of Israel. And because they tested the Lord by saying, 'Is the Lord among us or not?'" There's the legacy of that name. Here's the name because the people quarreled and tested God. And what did God do? Gave him water. He gave him water. Yeah, there was a thing on the news of, you know, in Colorado that one of the geysers was shooting off right now. Did you see that? I'm like, man, maybe it kind of looked like that when Moses struck it. I don't know. But It's kind of unimportant. The situation is the people's response to God. So my family was in town 2 weeks ago, and I had to take them to their flight in Kansas City on Wednesday, back to North Carolina. And Thursday, the hurricane was going to strike. And so I'm like, you know, why don't you guys just stay here and just ride out the hurricane at our place? My father's like, you know, I want to be where the action is, and I want to use my chainsaw. So, all right. So I took them to the airport. And when they got back, the hurricane struck. Now, they were 150 miles off the shore, and I'll tell you, there is no absence of water where they live. And even right now, there's no absence of water in that region. The water's still rising as the rivers are flowing towards the ocean, and cities are under warning. Too much water. But in a real sense, for those in these cities, there's a lack of water. And so you saw maybe the preparations that happened before the storm hit. People in stores gathering up as much water as they possibly could gather because they figured they might be out of water, out of drinking water. And for those that weren't prepared, maybe you saw the videos of stores being looted. Now, there were planes that were flying into small cities to get supplies there, but in a very real sense, the people's response on the coast varied by their preparedness, their expectation of what was coming. And in a very real sense, the psalm here calls us to be prepared. To come to worship God, to hear His word, to receive from God. That we're in the habit of worshiping God, that we're prepared in good times and bad to worship God, that when the hurricane strikes, we're worshiping God. Or when it's calm, we're worshiping God. The psalmist gives us this example of those, when the hurricane struck, were not prepared, and they cried out against God. Have you brought us here to die? Who are you, God? They've seen God's miracles. They've walked with Him, and now they're accusing Him. What are you doing to us? The response was not to trust God, but to grumble, to harden their heart against God in a difficult situation. Today, if you hear His voice, North Carolina, today, if you hear His voice, China, we'll talk about China shortly. Today, if you hear His voice, West Des Moines, Urbandale, Waukee, do not harden your hearts against Him. What do we do when things get difficult, right? That's the application. Well, we do what we're prepared to do. What will come out of us in those moments is what is in us. What we're prepared to do is what we do when things get difficult. And we all will face it. We've maybe faced it. Some haven't here, but you will. Maybe a loss of a job, loss of a relative, a home destroyed by a tornado, a flood. I don't know, but life is tough. How do you respond in those moments? What will come out of you is what is inside of you, what you've prepared for. And we prepare week in and week out. One of the things we do every Sunday is we gather here to worship God, to prepare, right? That we might worship God every day of the week, not just today, but that we're prepared to do it every day. We come in and hear the gospel. We sing songs of praise. We gear our hearts towards God that we might live that way all throughout the week, and we do it again on the Sabbath each Sunday. So in good times and bad, our response is to worship God. I know there are many stories here. Loss of a child, breakup of a marriage, failure of a business, and on the stories go. But you're here, and God has seen you through it, right? You can look back and say, yeah, I didn't know what this time would bring, but God got me through it. You remember the past. You remember His faithfulness. This is the God we serve. He got me through that time. He'll get me through the future. I can worship Him. You've seen God to be faithful over and over. But it's in those moments when a hurricane strikes, if we're not prepared to trust God, we need the warning, do not harden your heart against Him. You will see Him to be faithful. So what challenge and difficulty comes? Don't turn your back on God. He is faithful. even when things are tough. And sometimes, even in those tough moments, that's when he shapes us the most. James told us, we just went through the book of James, he says in James chapter 1, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you might be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." There is an intentional purpose in challenge. Become steadfast. Paul says in Romans chapter 5, oh, it's already up there. "Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that the suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." That's for the church, no matter where you live. It's for the church. It's for us. It's for the church in the Middle East. It's for the church in Russia. It's for the church in China. One of the things that came out, I think it was about 2 weeks ago, was a statement by pastors from China. I just want to read a small portion of it. If you don't know what's going on in China currently, just look it up on some news source. A lot of opposition and pressure against the church, so much so that churches are being burned down, Bibles are being burned. I mean, there's picture after picture of the state basically trying to flatten the Christian church. And this statement was written in 279 pastors so far have signed it. And you think of 279 pastors signing it, that puts them and their families at risk. It puts them on the list of those to be targeted. They're saying, "This is us, we're Christians." And I want to read a portion of what they wrote. They say, "We are a group of Chinese Christians, chosen by the Most High God to be his humble servants, serving as pastors for Christian churches throughout various towns." And then there's a longer statement of what's happening right now in 2018. And then they list 4 points. Let me read some of the 4 points to you. They wrote this. They said, "For the sake of faith and conscience, for the spiritual benefits of the authorities in China and of a society as a whole, and ultimately the glory of God, his holiness and righteousness, we make the following declaration to the Chinese government and to all society." And they wrote this. Number one, Christian churches in China believe unconditionally that the Bible is the word of God and revelation of God. It's the source and final authority of all righteousness, ethics, and salvation. If the will of any political party, the laws of any government, or the commands of any man directly violate the teachings of the Bible, harming men's souls and opposing the gospel proclaimed by the church, we are obligated to obey God rather than man. And we are obligated to teach the members of our church to do the same. Number two, Christian churches in China are eager and determined to walk the path of the cross of Christ, and more than willing to imitate the older generations of saints who suffered and were martyred for the faith. They're eager to do this. They were martyred for the faith. We'll do the same. We are willing and obligated under any circumstance to face all government persecution, misunderstanding, and violence with peace, patience, and compassion. For when the church refuses to obey civil laws, it does not stem from any political agenda. It does not stem from resentment or hostility. It stems only from the demands of the gospel and a love for God's people in Chinese society. Just a couple more that they write. I mean, for me, this is just amazing. When we think of our hardship, 279 families on the line signing the statement. Number three, Christian churches in China are willing to obey authorities in China whom God has appointed and to respect the government's authority to govern society and human conduct. We believe and are obligated to teach all believers in the church that the authority of the government is from God, and that as long as the government does not overstep the boundaries of secular power laid out in the Bible and does not interfere with or violate anything related to faith of the soul, Christians are obligated to respect the authorities, to pray fervently for their benefit, and to pray earnestly for Chinese society. For the sake of the gospel, we are willing to suffer all external losses. Buildings, Bibles, belongings. We're willing to suffer all external losses brought about by unfair law enforcement out of love for our fellow citizens. And we're willing to give up all of our earthly rights. Man. And just half of the next one, just hear this last half of number four. For this reason, we believe and are obligated to teach all believers. Skipped on. We declare that in matters of external conduct, churches are willing to accept lawful over, We declare that in matters of external conduct, churches are willing to accept lawful oversight by civil administration or other government departments, as other social organizations do, but under no circumstance will we lead our churches to join a religious organization controlled by the government, to register with the religious administration department, or to accept any kind of affiliation. We also will not accept any ban or fine imposed on our churches due to our faith. For the sake of the gospel, we are prepared to bear all losses, even the loss of our freedom and our lives. And so I read Psalm 95, and I think of my issues, and I read it in light of what I just read from the Chinese church, and I'm like, man, would we sign that thing? I think so. We know who our God is. I share that with you. In many parts of the world, it's not easy to be a Christian like it is in West Des Moines. But these Christians have learned from their past. They've seen the martyrs. They've seen what the state has done. And they're like, we're not going to cower and we're not going to fold. We're going to serve Jesus no matter the cost. And we'll praise him in good and bad times. And the psalmist reminds us today of the past. Don't harden your hearts if trouble comes. God is faithful in good times and bad. And that brings me to the first half of this psalm now. Look again, verses 1 to 6. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth. The height of the mountains are his. Also, the sea is his, for he made it, and his hands form the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. I mean, the Psalms are the hymn book given to the church. God's saying, here's some songs. You know, you have songs of joy, songs of lament. I mean, singing, it is a part of who we are as believers. It is. I know not everybody loves to sing. Imagine some of you came to church and were like, yeah, maybe if I just come in late, I don't have to sing. I don't want others to hear my voice or whatever thought you have in your mind. But you know deep down, when you're joyful, you sing. We've all heard you by yourself in your car. I have a daughter who loves to sing. I'm not a morning person. She is. She wakes up singing, and it's so confusing to me. Sings getting dressed, sings in the bathroom, driving to school, she's singing in the car. And even at night, oftentimes she's singing. She's singing because of what's inside of her. Like, joy is in her and it's coming out. I mean, we begin this service with singing. And if we're honest, we don't always want to sing. And there have been times when your pastor is coming to church, I try hard to have my heart ready to preach, to bring God's word to you. But there's been Sundays when I need to sing to get my heart right. I need to sing these songs to get focused on Jesus that I might preach right. We know what music does to us as well. God has called us to worship him with song. It changes our emotions. Music is powerful. Music is wonderful. It does something in us. Imagine the football games that were played yesterday. That's all I'll say about that. They sang or listened to loud music in the locker room to get them pumped up for the game. We read at the creation of the world, Job says this. God says this in the book of Job. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me, if you have any understanding, who determines its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched out the lines upon it? Or what were its bases work? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy at creation, right? In the formation of the world, joy singing to God. Singing praise to God when we understand who God is as we seek to worship him at all times is directed towards the church all throughout the Bible. We read here in Ezra 3:11, they sang praising and giving thanks to the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his loving kindness is upon Israel forever." And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Just singing. This is what the people of God do. You know, in the songbook we have all throughout the Psalms, commands to sing over and over. Sing, sing, sing to the Lord. And if we know the Lord, his goodness to us, that is what happens. We raise our voice in praise to our God. You know, I believe in one very real sense, music will be part of that language in heaven. I mean, if it's not directly, it sure will be a part of it. I mean, if heaven is eternal joy with God forever, and if joy produces that song in us, that's what's going to come out. Like, I don't know what that looks like, but hopefully this voice is better. It's who God is. You've all heard these words from Zephaniah. "The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing." This is what God does with us. He sings over us. He's brought a great salvation to us through Christ, and he sings over us. And when we trust him, when we don't harden our heart against him, we sing back. This is our response. So, you know, in one very real sense, when we gather together week in and week out here to remember God's faithfulness. We come into the service expecting God to work in us that which is pleasing in his sight. If you come to the service not ready to worship, be made ready by the songs, but I encourage you, by all means, come to the service ready. I don't know what that means. For some families, you get your families ready Saturday night, maybe in prayer, listening to some songs. Different families do different things, but prepare your families for worship. God has given us the Sabbath to worship him, but we live in the land of distraction, where the Sabbath is second or third choice if there's sports or music or work to do. And I mean, at the end of the day, we will give our time to that which we serve. So in a very practical sense, what do you give your time to? Is the Sabbath a priority? Is worshiping God together with the body of believers number one on your list? Well, how about our hearts? How about those that come into the church with a heavy heart or hurting hearts that aren't ready to sing and praise God? I mean, come in as you are into this place, ready to receive from God all that you're facing and dealing with right now. Come into this place. Be with the people of God. You will hear from God, your rescuer and your refuge. That's what we're told in the psalm. This is who God is. So this psalm sung at the Feast of Tabernacles, remembering their God, our God, as the rescuer and refuge of his people. You think of those wandering, lost, thirsty. It was God or nothing in that moment. And God showed up and gave him water. He brought refuge and rescue. I have a friend, I've talked about him a time or two. He's been a missionary in Niger, Africa for 15 years. He just moved back with his family. He moved back for various reasons. One of the reasons he moved back, they live real close to the Nigeria border. All our songs sound different. So he lives real close to the Nigeria border, and Boko Haram was moving towards where they lived in Nigeria. And right now, Nigeria is kind of falling apart. Or Niger, where he's from, has kind of fallen apart. So they moved back here. But anyway, what do I want to share on that? In June of this year, there were reports that came out on all these different news stations that 148 people had been taken hostage in Nigeria by Nigeria's Boko Haram militants that were fighting. But the reports were about the Nigerian army that went in and freed these 148 people. And so you have 148 people living in conditions they shouldn't be living in, facing who knows what, scared for their families, maybe even having lost family members. Nigeria's army comes in and rescues the 148 that were left. And I think as I read that, what was it like to watch your rescuers come in? Disbelief? Maybe joy? I'm free? You're bringing me to freedom? What were they feeling when their rescuers came? And I read this psalm and I'm thinking, do we feel this? We who were trapped in the bondage to sin, the chains of hell wrapped around our wrists, having been set free by God, do we know God as our refuge and our rescuer? I mean, for some of us, he's done it in very specific ways in your life. Maybe you were trapped in addiction, living like a citizen of hell maybe, I don't know, for yourself, for your pleasure, and he freed you, or he's freeing you right now. And you see God as your rescuer. You see God as your refuge. You know what it's like to lift that praise to him in the words the psalm gives us this morning. This is who our God is. He's the God who rescues the captives. He sets us free in Christ. I just want to read the beginning again of Psalm 95 and then move into a specific way we're going to worship God with profession of faith and baptism this morning. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Waters coming out of the rock. The rock of our salvation is him. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving and let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise, for the Lord is a great God, a great king above all gods. And in his hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountain are his also. The sea is his, for he made it. If you want to do a word study, look up the word sea, and you'll understand what the psalmist is saying here, reminding God's people that he even made the sea, the place of torment, challenge, difficulty. And his hands form the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. We worship a great God, don't we, church? All I want to do is remind you of that this morning, to keep your eyes on him. And we're going to celebrate the great God we worship, who works in the lives of his people, by inviting the Stambrows forward at this time. Brad and Brandy are going to be making profession of faith. Their son Brecken will be receiving the waters of baptism. Water is used as an image all throughout Scripture. Water cleanses, water refreshes. We have water mentioned in Psalm 95, God providing it for his people to drink. And we know the ultimate picture we have of water is what Jesus does in our salvation. He washes and he cleanses us. So water does represent the washing and the cleansing of Christ to those born into the family of God.
The elders of Crossroads Fellowship now welcome the Stanbrough family. They met with us earlier this month to profess their Christian faith. Now we welcome Brad and Brandy to make public this profession of faith and also to bring their son Brecken to receive the sacrament of baptism.
So we'll begin with the public profession of faith. Brad and Brandy have been baptized into the body of Christ. And in making public profession of faith, they affirm the meaning of their baptism. And so the profession of faith, we have some questions you guys have already been through, but part of the profession, according to Paul in Romans, is a public profession before the people of God, confessing with your mouth, believing in your heart. And so the questions I have for you, first is this. I ask you before God and Christ's church to reject evil, to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, and to confess the faith of the church. Do you renounce sin and the power of evil in your life and in the world? If so, say, we renounce them. So the key question here in all these questions is this one. Who is your Lord and Savior?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. Will you be a faithful member of this congregation and through worship and service seek to advance God's purpose here and throughout the world? If so, say we will, and we ask God to help us.
We will. We ask God to help us.
Both Brecken being baptized this morning. The question, yes. That's a sermon right there. Question for you, for him, for both kids actually. Do you promise to instruct Brecken in the truth of God's word, in the way of salvation through Jesus Christ, to pray for him, to teach him to pray, to train him in Christ's way by your example through worship and in the nurture of the church? If so, say we do, and we ask God to help us.
We do, and we ask God to help us.
So as we say at our baptisms, membership, you're not joining a club. It's a visible recognition of a spiritual reality. You've been added to the body of Christ. And so this is a local expression of the body of Christ. And so we all have a responsibility in this as well. And so I'm going to ask you to stand as the congregation of Crossroads Fellowship and answer this question in relation to the Stanbros. You promise to love, encourage, and support the Stanbros by teaching them the gospel of God's love, by being an example of Christian faith and character, and by giving the strong support of God's family in fellowship, prayer, and in service. If so, say, we do. Do we have the Apostles' Creed set to go? Would you respond with the answers? Do you believe in God the Father? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit,
who suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. He descended to hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead, and he ascended to heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
So we've professed our faith together. So the final question, do you both promise to accept the spiritual guidance of the church and walk in a spirit of Christian love with this congregation? And seek to those things which make for unity, purity, and peace. If so, say we do. Let me pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time with Brad and Brandy and their family. We thank you for the work that you've done and are doing in their life. We thank you for this body of believers that they've been added to, the promise that you've given to us to finish what you started in each of us, Lord. We thank you for your Holy Spirit's work. We thank you for the waters of baptism as we prepare to baptize Brecken, Lord. Might he always know your love. But he always know you every day of his life as the God who rescues, who redeems, who is his refuge. We pray in your name. Amen. All right, you ready?
Yeah.
All right, come on over.
I really want to get a little better.
Well, Brecken.
What?
For you, Jesus came into the world.
What?
Jesus came into the world for you.
Why?
Because he loves you. Because your family's a Christian family. The promise is for you, too.
But why?
Because he loves you. Do you know that your mom and dad love you? Right? Jesus loves you, too.
But I even don't know if he's thinking of my surprise.
Jesus came into the world. He died for you, Brecken, for you. He conquered death. All this he did for you. And we love God because God first loved us. And so we use water to symbolize God's love for you, him washing over you, what he does with his spirit. So we take the water, and we baptize you, Brecken.
Are you going to put a little bit on?
I'll put a little bit on you. In the name of the Father. It's warm water, right?
I don't really want to.
In the name of the Son. One more time. And in the name of the Holy Spirit. Brecken, you've been baptized into the name of the triune God that we serve, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So in the name of that God, our triune God, we receive into the visible membership of the church, Brecken Stanbro, Brad and Brandy, as well as they've made their public profession. This time I want to invite the elders forward if we could say a prayer over the Stanbros. If you guys want to move over there. Out of here. Brad said he freshly shaved his head for this, so. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Stanbros. We thank you for the faith that you've given to them and that you're working into them, that they're working out in their life, Lord, in fear and trembling. I thank you for the heart you've given them for the gospel, for digging deep into the things of God. And I pray, Lord, that you would continue to work that into their family year after year, day after day, Bless the jobs that you've given them to do, Lord, their family, their friends. Bless this new church family that they've been brought to, Lord. Help us to love them with the love of Christ, to continue to show them and proclaim to them, as we proclaim to each other, the gospel of the greatness of Jesus, who has saved us. Jesus, on your merits alone, and we pray this in your name. Amen. At this time, we're going to take our offering, and the offering is for Rehoboth Christian School. As the offering is taken, we have the white envelopes at the end of the pews. If you'd pass those envelopes, our friendship folders, just to get an account of who's with us this morning. Pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for Rehoboth Christian School, and we ask your blessing on the work you've given them to do, Lord Jesus. Continue to strengthen their faith, Lord, that their funds as well would be met that they need to do the ministry you've given to them, Lord. We thank you for our church. We thank you for the marriage of Daniel and Alyssa Wilson yesterday, Lord. We pray blessing upon their family. We thank you for the Wilsons, Lord, and the Clapper family. And Lord, we just pray blessing upon them. We thank you for the Stambros today and the profession of faith, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for Crossroads Fellowship. Lord, this body of believers you've gathered together to sharpen and encourage one another, to hear the gospel proclaimed, Lord, to live faithfully for you. And I pray you would be with us as we go to our jobs tomorrow, as, Lord, we go to the places that you have us, that we would give you glory in all the things you've given us to do. We thank you for the classes that met yesterday, Lord Jesus, and the work that was done by classes leaders. We thank you for our classes here. We do know there are needs, Lord, in the church here. We do pray for Rich Towers. We thank you for the report he's now gotten back with his MRI, but we pray for good health upon his body. We know there are others who are struggling, Lord, in poor health. We pray for healing for them, Jesus, and those that are struggling with worry and with doubt. We pray, Lord, for good encouragement for them. And we know we represent family here who are struggling in various ways, and so we do pray for family members and friends in the midst of their battles, Jesus. We thank you for this nation where we can worship freely. We thank you, Lord, for the gospel and the work you're doing in this nation and the nations around the world. And we do pray for our brothers and sisters in nations that are difficult. As we've heard about China this morning, we pray for our brothers and sisters there. Continue to grow and increase the church, Lord. Strengthen the church in those regions. But we do pray here, be with our president, vice president, the cabinet, Lord, the debates, the quarrels that happen, Lord. We ask that we would see and know that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That even in the midst of the things that happen in our culture, that we would not lose focus of who we are and why you've made us. To these things we pray. Amen. Are there any announcements this morning? Kevin has one. As he's coming up, a reminder, if you're not involved in something in the church, be it a Bible study, a small group, there are plenty of Bible studies and small groups available, or even Awana, if you have kids at that age, talk to Brad Veenstra, we can get you plugged in there as well.
I'm representing the Mission Advocate Committee, and next Sunday is the 5th Sunday of September. So that means it's Mission Emphasis Church here at Crossroads. There will not be Sunday school, and we will try to have the meal and meet quite quickly after the service. I'm looking at it as a church-wide Sunday school. We're just all going to have Sunday school together this time, with a meal, and then fellowship with our missionary that's coming. And he's Justin Van Zee. He's originally from Sully. And he will be coming and telling us about his work in Cambodia. So stick around and listen to that. Interesting facts to tell us, and also just tell us how God is working in his life and in the life of the people of Cambodia. The meal, we'd like you to bring a dish if you could. I'd like to call this a pot blessing, where you bring something and you bless others with what you have bought or what you have cooked. For the main meal, main dish on such day, or you can bring a side dish, a dessert. And if you don't feel like you want to cook, you can buy it. And if you don't have time to cook, just show up anyway. There's usually plenty of food. Some of us who, maybe there's two in our family, maybe there's one in our family, we find it kind of interesting to cook a whole 9x13 pan or something. And hope we don't have to take it home to eat. So we'll invite everybody. So if you have any questions, check it out in the information for you people.
I know she was looking at me when she said desserts, so you know I like desserts. Just want to give a quick reminder about the meal train. Claire and I are coordinators of our meal train. It's an online scheduling when we want to help folks in our congregation with some meals. The purpose is just someone going through a crisis or just a life situation that takes extra time and focus, you know, like having a baby or other events. And we'll put out a notice to you as a congregation in the midweek or in the Sunday bulletin. And so please look at those. When you see them in the bulletin, be aware of those situations. And we do have a couple of needs that you've seen in the bulletin. Still want to bless Nancy in her time of transition, though she is working, and LaVon family as well. We're going to extend probably a couple more times on there, so just look on the meal train. And if you don't want to use the online, just notify Claire or I or even Winnie, and we'll schedule it in for you. So just be aware of that. It's just a way, to bless those who are in a difficult spot or just a transition spot. And this would take some time off their hands just by having a meal prepared, and so be able to share with them. So just be aware of those situations. And lastly, we haven't promoted this as much, and we hope to try to recharge this a little bit, is if you feel like making a meal and we don't have a specific need, listen, bulletin, we want to put some meals in the freezer ready to go. So just date it, put some brief instructions, and let Claire or I or even Winnie know about that so we know it's there. We will often check that as well, but then we're prepared in the event that something happens quickly, we can get it started with one of those frozen meals. Thank you.
Just a quick clarification about next week and no Sunday school. There is no Sunday school, but for the, for the three-year-olds through fifth grade, we're still going to have just a little craft for them to do. That way, while we're tearing down in here and getting the meal set up, it's chaotic in here. So, Lori, thank you, has graciously offered to organize that. I'll probably be contacting a couple of you teachers this week to help out with that. So the three-year-olds through fifth graders will still go to your rooms right after church next week just for 10 or 15 minutes while things are getting set up. We'll entertain them while things are getting set up.
Well, today have on the transfer of membership, and Brad and Brandy Stambro in on profession of faith and their membership. I would ask all of you to greet the Meningas and the Stambros after church this morning and welcome them into our fellowship. Would you stand and receive the benediction? Well, 1 Timothy 1, verse 17, the sending from God to you, to this week, to serve him as your refuge and your rescue. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.
Please, your faithfulness, O God. You wrestle with the sinner's restless heart. You lead us past the waters into mercy. And nothing can keep us apart. So remember your people. Remember your children, remember your promise, O God. Your grace is enough, your grace is enough, your grace is enough for me. Great is your love and justice, God of Jacob. You use the weak to lead the strong. You lead us in the song of your salvation. And all your people sing along. So remember your people, remember your children. Remember your promise, O God. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. So remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, O God. Your grace is enough, your grace is enough, your grace is enough for me. Every nation. me. Your grace is enough. I'm coming in your love. Your grace is enough.